And we're going to be talking about your Red Seas. Oh, do we have Red Seas? We have Red Seas. First of all, you know the story in the Bible about the children of Israel went to the Red Sea. You know, I've always thought about these guys and gals that parted. You see how the screen shows. It's not very wide. But can you imagine so many people going through a narrow passageway? And I've been wondering, how wide was that opening for the people? I mean, we're not talking about a few people like who live in Los Osos, Morro Bay, and Cayucas, 36 maybe thousand. We're talking about a lot of people. The Bible says that there were 600,000, I'm sorry, look at your notes now. Yes, that's what I was about to say. 600,000 men. Well, they weren't just men crossing the Red Sea. There were ladies too. So we got 600,000 more women. And based upon the 2.5 children in a family, they've come up with this great figure that there were 2,400,000 children. That's not all. There were also the immigrants that were with them. So if you're talking about more than 3 million people who were going through this Red Sea, it had to be a little bit wider than this aisle, or this room, or this town, maybe. So how wide was it? Don't ask me. You can ask Mr. Google, and he doesn't even know, okay? But it was pretty wide, and so they did go through the Red Sea. Now, if you were at the Red Sea now, and you had the capability of looking down low, this is what you would see. Down deep in the water. If you're looking really deep in the water, okay, you're going to see some objects. And the first object you see will be this, popping up right before your very eyes. You will see a chariot wheel that has been found at the bottom of the Red Sea. Now you think that's spectacular. I think that's spectacular too. So that was more than last year, okay? A long many years ago. But they found this in the depth of the Red Sea, and so they believed that it was a chariot wheel. They also found this object down there. And it's hard to see, but it's also part of the chariot. And then if you were going there today, you would find something that King Solomon made 400 years after the passing through the Red Sea. And this is what you would see on the screen. It's there right there. So King Solomon believed that was there. And it all goes back to the very beginning. These gals and gals. Yeah, guys and gals went through the Red Sea. And my scripture today is Psalm 66:6. He turned the sea into dry land, and they went through the flood on foot. Can you see the screen behind me? That's what they did. He turned the sea into dry land. That's unbelievable. And some of the Hollywood presentations show the wall. But it's not a very, the passageway is not really that wide. But when you're talking about 3 million people, it has to be quite wide for them to go through in such a short length of time. Nevertheless, they did that. So the message says in Psalm 66:6, and I love the message. Take a good look at God's wonders. They'll take your breath away. He converted sea to dry land. Travelers crossed the river on foot. Now, isn't that a cause for song? I like the way the message reads. It's like in the vernacular what we read. But then the NIV says he turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. They were indeed in trouble. And then that we can spin off in trouble. Job says a man, oh, I like this. No, I don't like this. A man is born into trouble. And then he also says man born of a woman is of a few days full of trouble. It said a man is full of trouble. It doesn't say a woman. But anyway, nevertheless, we are in a life of trouble. Hosea says he's going to make the valley of trouble a door of hope. And these guys were going through trouble, no doubt about it. But they did pass through. So you can go through it. So I'm asking this question on the screen. Is there anybody here who's going through one of these difficulties that you'll see on the screen? We have a few. Since I can't read, I'll have to turn and read. Okay. Waters of inadequacy. Waters of fear, waters of depression, waters of anxiety, and waters of slander. So I've been thinking, which is amazing, of the people in this wonderful church. What are some of the red seas that we are facing? And I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, but I do believe that one of these five things that you see on the screen are items that can possibly touch one of you in this congregation, if not two. Okay, so first of all, let's go to the first guy. Water is seen in these. We're going to look at Moses. Oh, that dear man of Moses. Moses felt the waters of depression. Jaden, I'm going to check on it. And so here we got this guy going through the waters. Feeling inadequacy. What in the world is inadequacy? What does that mean? What does inadequacy mean? Well, it just means you're inadequate, okay? That's what it means. It means you're inadequate. And there could be a person here, or we'll listen to the sermon in somewhere else sometime, feeling inadequacy. You're at the waters of inadequacy, past failures. People who say, I'm so inadequate, nobody's going to listen to me. I'm not a good speaker. God uses people who do feel inadequate. And I have known people, and there may be one here today or listening to my voice somewhere, who feels inadequate. I want you to know that you are a very important person. You are important in your inadequacy. And I've got two scriptures for you. Deuteronomy 24. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. When you're feeling inadequate. David, Psalm 139. I'll praise you, for I am fearfully, I like that, wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows that right well. So I have known people, and you have too perhaps, who just feel so inadequate, and they're facing the waters of it, the Red Sea of inadequacy, and they want the waters parted, and God is saying to you or to other people, I am sufficient. I am sufficient for you in your inadequacy. Okay, another Red Sea that I see in people, and this is Caleb. Caleb was another guy, and this guy just felt the waters of fear. Of course, none of you have ever had fear. Of course not. I don't want to chase a rabbit when I have had some times of fear. But nevertheless, Caleb was feeling the fear. Remember who Caleb was? He was that guy who went with nine other men. They went in to spy out the land. And everybody gave a bad report because they were full of F-E-A-R, which says, yes, fear. But he had a different take on what he actually saw, but he was honest about the difficulties, and he reminded them of their resources. And so if there's one here listening to me who has fear, I want to remind you of your inadequacy. Those people who had fear fell into that trap and got hooked into that, and they could not be defeated. But Joshua said, I have a different take on this. And so though he felt that God's people no longer appreciated God's way, he did want to present to them the possibility of overcoming your fear. And for us who have fear, and I have known some people who lived in fear, they just, they were fearful of this, they were fearful of that, what will happen? And fear just seemed to Well, they were living under the umbrella of fear. Maybe you've known some people like that too. So for those people, I picked out a couple of really good verses here. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Not that we fear people, though I've had some people that I fear. Maybe you have too. But it's not just people in under the umbrella of fear. There are circumstances and situations that come our way. But the Bible says, and it's so very important, the Lord is my light and he's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That's so easy to say. It's so hard to identify with. But the Lord, he goes on to say, I love this. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So fear does strike us. And I don't want to chase a couple of rabbits and tell you places when I have been in fear. I may just do that anyway. No, I'm not going to do that. Okay, let's go to the next guy. Let's go to Elijah, because I just want you to know that I'm not immune from, though I have injections, I'm not immune from fear. And I've had some great fearful experiences. And in those experiences, as I look back, at that point, I didn't know these scriptures, but why should I be afraid? The Lord is my strength. And people, if you're here today and you are at the Red Sea of being fearful, just remember, the Lord is your strength. He's going to get you through. Okay, Moses at the Red Sea, inadequacy. Caleb was at the Red Sea, fear. Oh, look at Elijah. Okay, Elijah, he felt this horrible word. Say that word. You say it. Ah. Did you know, if you don't know, I'm telling you, Elijah was the only guy in the Bible who had depression. Some of you may have gone through it. Maybe one or two of you are in right now. You know friends who are at the Red Sea of depression. And what does depression mean? It means to feel or be depressed. And the reason for that was, remember the story in 1 Kings, he is fleeing from this lady, Jezebel. He's running away. And we won't tell you the whole story, but the point is, he was at that Red Sea, and he was depressed. And when you are depressed, as was the case of him, he could not discern the facts. So in depression, we are in a situation where we can't discern what is actually happening. And so the answer to that situation is this: find a quiet place. Oh, I love the quiet place. Find that quiet place. And for a person that I spoke to not too long ago going through Great Depression, this is what the counsel was: find the quiet place. How do you find a quiet place living in the world in which we live? It's hard, isn't it? And no matter if you find a place that is quiet, something always happens. So on my website, I've got a blue button that calls, it says, spending 15 minutes with Jesus. And it says, turn off your cell, turn off the music, get in a quiet place, and listen, just listen to this background music. And Nancy and I picked out 200 pictures of Jesus. And the pictures pop up with the background music. Just quiet yourself. Just quiet yourself. And that's easy to say, and it's very difficult to do. The enemy uses depression, spelled with a capital D, and it often happens when a person is tired. You may agree or may not agree. But it makes us unable to see the facts as they are. So that's why you find a quiet place. So, two scriptures for a person here or listening to me. Psalm 42, 5 and 6. Again, the message. I love this. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? This is what the Bible says in the message. Fix my eyes on God. and soon I'll be praising him. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. When my soul is in the dumps, and that's depression, I rehearse everything I know of you. So he says again in verse 11, Psalm 42, why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God, and soon I'll be praising again. And he puts a smile on my face. He's my God. And reading the word that way is different from, other scriptures. It doesn't make it as we would speak it. But for the depressed person, the Amplified, I like also. That was Nancy's favorite, which is the book, the Bible that I'm reading now, which was hers. Oh God, you have rejected us and cast us off. For the person who's depressed, you have broken down our defenses and scattered us. You've been angry. Oh, restore us again, for you are here at the Red Sea of depression. So we got Moses, inadequate. We got Caleb, who's fearful. We got Elijah, who's depressed, at the Red Sea. But there's two more we want to quickly look at. The next one's a hard guy to spell or even speak. His name is Jehoshaphat. Would you please say it? Oh, you did better than me. Okay, he was at the Red Sea of anxiety. Anxiety. Now, of course, none of you ever had anxiety. No, of course. Well, somebody said yes. Okay. The world just throws things at us. It makes us anxiety. You can be walking. You can be driving. You can be talking. You can be doing anything you want to do. And all of a sudden, you have anxiety. Now, Jehoshaphat had a lot of anxiety. But yet, in 2 Chronicles 22, he was told, as he told other people, take up your position and stand firm. So he's at the Red Sea, as if it were, of anxiety. If you're anxiety, you're anxious. Duh. Okay. You're anxious about it. And these guys were anxious. So here are a couple of scriptures for you. I like Psalm 139:23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. As if he didn't know. Proverbs 15:15, the Amplified, all the days of the afflicted are bad, but be of a glad heart. That person has a continual feast regardless of the circumstances. But in Philippians 4:6-7, it's a good one. Do not be anxious about anything. Say it. Do not be anxious about anything. Right. So you're reading my notes very well. Okay. That's right. That's right. That's a good one, isn't it? Be not anxious. If you have anxiety, that's what anxiousness is. It's really hard, but you know, we can't let the evil one take control of us, because the evil one is the evil one, and the evil one is your enemy, and he wants to take control of you. And so when you're having these anxious thoughts, we've got to be careful that we're not identifying with him. We're identifying with that one who can help us through our anxiety. So when at the Red Sea, don't let anxiety control your thoughts. And that's easy for me to say. It's hard for me to do. There's always something to thank God for. I heard you say that. Okay, let's go to number 9 in my notes here, which is David. David was feeling something really special here. He was feeling slander. Now, what is slander? Slander is when somebody says something evil about you, or when somebody says something wrong about you. Lift your hand if you have experienced that in your lifetime. Somebody has said something wrong about you. Okay, nearly everybody's lifted their hands. And I can't go into detail, but there have been some slanderous things written about me on the front page of the newspaper even. But at the Red Sea of slander, which some of you may be in right now or be going through in the future, I want you to remember this. Speak and declare the truth. Examine the facts. Believe that God is going to act. He is going to act. And leaving it to God is very hard to do, obviously. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, Nancy's favorite scripture, trust in the Lord with all of your what? Heart. And lean not upon, but in every way, and he will, right through that Red Sea, yes, he will, yes, he will, declare the truth to yourself, and he will help you through. Okay, well, I think I've touched all of the issues that I have come in contact with people, and I'm just believing that possibly it may have touched one or two of you today. And so to conclude it all, I think Exodus 33:14 is good. And the Lord said, my presence, we sang about that, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. Love it. They went through the Red Sea on foot. And my friend, if you're at the Red Sea of one of these issues that we've mentioned, you too can go through your Red Sea on foot. Because you have got your feet shod with the gospel and you know what it's all about. And besides having your feet in that position, you got somebody else in your heart, which leads me to say this. They went through the Red Sea on dry land, but there is another Red Sea that maybe some people in this congregation or listening to me somewhere don't understand, and that is the Red Sea of being lost without Jesus. And so I cannot conclude any of my messages without telling you that if you're at the Red Sea of unbelief, just open your heart, just say, it's so simple to say, if you mean it, dear Jesus, I cannot save myself. I believe what you did on the cross was for me personally, and so I believe. Say that word. Yes, I believe. And when you say it, it's done, as is my sermon. Let's stand. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity of sharing words that could be very important to some in this congregation, because we all are standing at Red Seas, and there are some seas not even mentioned. But I'm grateful, Father, that these Red Seas can be parted by the power that's in the name of Jesus. And so I proclaim victory in the lives of each one of us standing right here in your presence. I proclaim victory. As we approach the Red Sea, we will see the waters departing left and right, and we will walk through with dear Jesus at our hand, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I pray, God, your blessing upon each in this congregation. I pray the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.